Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Welcome to church, everyone. It is great to be here with you, and I just want to welcome everyone who is here watching us online as well. It is great to have you with us, and I understand that through this time where sickness is around and bits and pieces going on, it is still so valuable that you join us for church. So if you can ever not be in the building, make the effort to join us live on a Sunday morning or watch online. Church, can we welcome everybody who's watching online with us this morning? It is great to have you with us as part of our church as well. Wonderful. Now, last week we began a brand new series that we're looking at called Choose Life. And we kicked that off last week with this subject of money. And we were looking at these six different topics over 6 weeks. When it comes to our theme for the year of freedom, in how can we live out this freedom that has been won for us? And it comes down to a choice in all of these areas that we have, the last one last week being money, the choice between life and the choice between death. And we've come to this scripture here, our key passage in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 and 20. It's on the screens. It says, "Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice that you make." And here is, you know, God speaking through Moses here. "Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by," and remember these three things, "by loving the Lord your God, by obeying him, and by committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life." And then there's these three choices that we talked about. Number one, loving God by accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Number two, by obeying him, by living by God's instruction. And that's what we're looking at through these six different subjects. And by number three, committing yourself firmly to him, by devoting ourselves to him, both in good seasons and in bad. And though we started with money, that was a big topic last week, we're going to look at another one, another big one this week. And this is the topic, if you missed it, I mean, it's all about principles, but the topic of this week is the subject of rest. Rest. If you're writing notes, which I encourage you to do in church, write down that word, rest, R-E-S-T. And so my message title for today is this: Rhythms of Rest. Rhythms of Rest. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the time that we get to spend together in worship of your wonderful name, your glorious name, all majesty to you. And Holy Spirit, as we come around your word today, we come with open hearts, Lord God, for we want what you say to us to have an impact. Lord, we don't want to be closed off. We don't want to just be sitting here and listening to this and heading off and saying, "Oh, that was great." But Father, we want to allow your word to penetrate our hearts, that it may have an impact on us. Lord God, that you might be glorified through the way that we live our lives. So Father, we thank you for this day. We give all glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm a firm believer in the fact that the more technology advances, the more information we find out, the more that we will see the glory of God at work. The more powerful the telescope that gets designed, the further we see into the universe, the more it will reveal God's glory and his wonder. In the same way, the more that we have a greater power in a microscope, the more that we can see inside, the more that we can see the intricate details, the more we see a creator God who cares about the most minute of details. And as we read the Bible, we realize that this creator God who created the whole universe in a physical sense, he also set these heavenly principles in motion that will remain forever. Another way of saying it is that God is the author of the rhythms of the earth. And I want to start with this look at the word light and what light actually is. And in Genesis 1:14, you can read it here, it says, "Then God said, let lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be signs to mark the seasons, the days, and the years." These are those heavenly rhythms, one that we have all experienced, and the origins of which is God's creation. So let's have that photo up, and we talk about the seasons. The seasons, four seasons every single year as a result of the axial tilt. That earth should be almost tilted, it probably is, tilted about 23 degrees, giving us the four seasons every year. Our days, 24 hours is the time it takes for the earth to spin once on its axis. We have the light, and we have the darkness, we have the day, and we have the night. And then our years, our trip around the sun. However many years old you are is the number of trips you have done around the sun on this earth. All because of the light, is all a result of that light. And God's creation that gives us light has this undeniable rhythm that we are all flowing with. But there's another that doesn't fall into this category that's governed by light. Do you know what it is? It's the week. The week. God himself is the one who instituted the week to us in the creation account. He worked for 6 days creating everything that exists for us today, creating humanity itself in Genesis 2, 1 to 2. So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation. So he what? He rested from all of his work. I want to ask this question. I was asking this question myself, and I'll ask it of you today. Why did God need to rest? Was it because he was too tired from all the creative work that he had been doing? Was it because he needed a down day? He needed a bit of time off? Was it because he was stressed? Was it because he needed to conserve energy for the coming days? No, none of that, I don't think. It says God rested because he had finished his work, and he paused to look over it and see and enjoy all that he had created. So we look and we understand that God was the origin. God has been the institutor of these rhythms of life that we now go by. God is the one who created them. And when God, in his infinite wisdom, creates something, we'd better pay attention. It's then, unfortunately, if we look to where we live today, we see that in general, we have departed from some of those rhythms. And we have become out of rhythm, many of us, especially when it comes to this subject of rest. Thomas Edison and Joseph Swan in the 1870s made famous and commercialized the electric light bulb in the 1870s. The significance to this event when it comes to our rest cannot be understated. And prior to this, there it is, one of the early ones. And prior to this, you would be required to go, if you were rich enough, you would go out and you'd get a beeswax candle and you would light that candle if you needed to do something after dark. If you didn't have the money, you would go out and you'd get this thing called a rushlight, which is effectively a dried piece of grass or something like that that you dip in animal fat and that you'd light up. And it would give you about an hour's worth of light. And it would stink. It was the worst smell, but it would give you that 1 hour of light if you needed it after dark. And once the electric light bulb came into effect, over a number of years, things shifted as factories began to run later into the evening because they could, because there was light. You know, offices would open a little bit longer, and then eventually into the home, it became viable enough that everybody began to have the electric light bulb in their house. And all of a sudden, something that required much effort and intentionality to get going when you needed to do something after dark could all be done with a simple flick of a button, a flick of a switch, a press of a LED candle, you know, not a candle like this, but the flick of a switch was all that was required before you had light and you were able to extend what you were doing during the day into the evening. And isn't it interesting that our rhythms in life had their origins in the light that God created? And yet our rhythms in life have been adjusted and shifted because of the creation of that same light in the electric light bulb. It's so strange. Then we come to Bruce Gyngell. Does anyone know who Bruce Gyngell is? Anyone heard? Yes. Bruce Gyngell on the 16th of September 1956 at 7 p.m. Some of you might have been there for this. Said the famous words, "Hello and welcome to television," heralding the beginning of TV programming here in Australia, or as it was referred to in those days, radio with pictures. Many of us have now lived through the era where TV programming was increased to the point where there was always something on. There was always, you know, there was 24/7 TV programming. Not all of it was good, am I right? But there was 24/7. I remember those times as well. There would get to be a certain point in the night and I was like, man, I don't know what this is, but it ain't worth watching at all. This maybe, I don't know, was meant, do many people have one of this style? Like, I'm not sure of this era of TV. But interestingly, when they first did it, the first TV programming, the acknowledgement was, I know that not many of you are going to be watching this from home. It's probably going to be on a street somewhere through a shop window, the rarity of the TV. And so as the TV came on, the regular early night that gave us that rest became extended. And to the point where the next one, you can get big TVs nowadays, like a standard sort of TV would be around that 50 or 60 kind of inches, and you could go across the road and buy like an 85-inch TV today if you wanted. And in fact, last year, it's not 90 inches anymore. It's not even 100 inches, Chris. Do you know what the TV that you can get these days is? 325 inches. Have a look at this. 325-inch TV. Not a projector. TV for your house. So if you've got if you've got the desire to see every single detail, and you've got a spare $1.7 million, then you can buy yourself one of those TVs. And so you thrust yourself forward then a number of 50 or 60 years, and the internet becomes part of our lives, and we have this world that literally never sleeps. And not only does it never stop, but neither do our leisure activities, our work, our shopping, our schooling. And I'm sure you've seen it over the last couple of years due to COVID, that we have become conditioned to the expectation that we are always available. A video call for work, no matter where you are in the world, is almost a default. And now, you know, if you're working from home, the lines between work time and family time and leisure time and rest time have all become blurred to be this one big melting pot of our time, and we are getting pulled in all these different directions because who knows, it's, you know, a quick text responses can be done, or a quick email, or a quick phone call, but all of these things end up adding up. And I wonder how many hours these little devices, how many hours of sleep, of missed sleep these little devices are responsible for in the lives of people across the world. You start scrolling at 8 p.m. before you know it, it's midnight, and you're still doing the same thing with your thumb, scrolling, scrolling, scrolling away. Because there's always something new. There's always something we're missing out on, always something to catch up on. And all of it is at the cost of our rest, something that we desperately need as designed by our Creator God himself. I read this quote this week when someone was talking about the inability for people to turn off in today's day and age. It's like the tap of our lives is constantly dripping. There's no time where we have actually turned it off, checked the seal, because there's a constant drip of outgoing in our lives. So, as we explore this, we want to first track our way through the Bible. What does God say about rest in his word? And we're going to start right at the beginning, and we already did. That number one, that God rested at the beginning. And we've already read about this in Genesis 2. He rested from all that he has done. Not only is he creator of the physical realm, but of the rhythms and underlying principles to life. And that includes that principle of rest. We need rest because that's the way God created us. No amount of caffeine, no amount of adrenaline, no amount of exercise or anything is going to keep us going indefinitely or remove this inherent need that we have in ourselves to rest. The longest recorded time without sleep is 264 hours that someone did not sleep for, or just over 11 days. Though it is rare, you can even die as a lack of sleep. Studies have even compared, and I was thinking about young parents, parents with babies at this point in time. If you've gone 24 hours without sleep before, 24 full hours without sleep, then it is, the tests show that there are similarities between having a blood alcohol reading of 0.1%, double the legal limit, and being without sleep for 24 hours. Such is the impact that a lack of rest has on our bodies. God has created us to need sleep. But it's important at the same time that we note that sleep and rest are not one and the same. They are not equal things. Sleep is a part of rest, but it is not rest in and of itself. So, number one, God created us with that need. Number two, the Sabbath. Let's look at that. The instruction for the day of rest, or the Sabbath, as recorded as part of the Ten Commandments given to the Israelites by Moses. And we're going to read it in Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11. It says this, Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath, day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them, but on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. This in Scripture is one of those, it's one of those blessed shall nots, you know? It's not a shall not that, you're not going to be able to do all this. This is like, shall not, because this is best for you. And just as it is now. And what's interesting when we look at this and we put it in context with regard to where we are now, we understand that that law was given back then, but let's look at it, how it sits. Because at that point when it was given, Israel had just been in captivity for 430 years. They have been in Egypt for 430 years. And they have come out of that, and then Moses is giving these Ten Commandments. And 430 years, obviously you're going to get a number of generations. You're going to get people who have experienced the life before, but then you are going to have a stack of people, and all of the people at the end, that have only experienced what it is to be in captivity, what it is to be in Egypt. And what they did in Egypt was work. And there is no doubt that some of the Egyptian culture on those people will have rubbed off on them, which is work. And we read about this in Exodus 5, where Pharaoh continues to increase the demand on the Israelites, his slaves, to the point of exhaustion and even to death. See, to Pharaoh, the Israelites, every single life was the sum total of 80 years or 29,200 days of work. That's what it was. You are an Israelite. To me, you are 29,200 days worth of work, inconveniently interrupted by the sleep that you so desire and need. And so knowing this, realizing that a little bit of Egypt has crept in, God gives this instruction back to them. And in the original intent, here it is, of rest, is to have that day, that Sabbath. Another way of saying this is that he replaced a little bit of that Egypt with a little bit of the Eden that was the original design. A little bit of that rest in the Garden of Eden. A little bit of Egypt taken out and the Eden put back in. And so we get that command about the Sabbath. Make the way for rest. Work is not allowed on that day. And so then we fast forward a little bit. We come to the New Testament. And we have the Sabbath that is still spoken about. It is still instituted. It is still part of the law. And then Jesus comes and look what he says in Mark 2, 23 to 28. One Sabbath day, as Jesus was walking through some grain fields, his disciples began breaking off heads of grain to eat. But the Pharisees said to Jesus, "Look, why are they breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath?" Jesus said to them, "Haven't you read in the scriptures what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He went into the house of God during the days when Abiathar was high priest and broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priests are allowed to eat. He also gave some to his companions." Then Jesus said this to them, "The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of the people, and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath." That is such a, like, it's such a drop the mic statement, I feel like, from Jesus on the subject of Sabbath. It's like, this is the thing. The Sabbath is made to meet the needs of the people, and not the people made to meet the requirements of the Sabbath, who's Lord. And it's one that applies to us today, because we are no longer under the law, because Christ fulfilled the law when he came. The literal Sabbath of us doing no work for one day has been fulfilled. It's no longer law for us. Colossians 2, 16 and 17. "So don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, or for not celebrating certain holy days or new moon ceremonies or Sabbaths. For these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come. And Christ himself is that reality." So it's clear that the Sabbath under the old covenant does not bind us anymore to the festivals or to its rhythms. But rest is still part of God's rhythm for our lives. Jesus himself modeled rest to us and in times where it was necessary. And you read about it when in the feeding of the 5,000, it says just before that, that Jesus and his disciples, he led them away to rest, and he led them away to a quiet place to rest. And as he was making his way there, he was interrupted, and the people needed, and the compassion of Jesus was shown in that moment. And that's so, and I'm going to talk about it a bit later. It's not the locking of the door. You know, it's not the rest, and I have locked the door to everybody, and even if you have a need, then you do not have my time right now. But it is a principle that is in place, that rest is required. We need to make our time for rest, but if compassion is required through that, then that is what Jesus has modeled. And we can know that when we get tired, and when we get weary, if God opens the door, you can be confident the Holy Spirit will strengthen you in those moments to do what he is calling you to do in that space. And so it's one thing for us to look at rest and to understand it's important. It's one thing to have a target, but it's another thing to define that target and know what it actually looks like. What does rest actually look like? If I were to hand out a piece of paper to every single one of you right now, and I was to say, write down for me, plan out your day, your week, your month, your year in terms of the way that you see rest, I'm sure that we would come up with just 100 different examples of what rest actually looks like to you. I asked our staff this week, maybe you can relate to some of these. What gives you rest? What relaxes you? What recharges your... It wasn't relax. I didn't say relax. What recharges your batteries, I asked, and see if you can relate to any of these. The first one, cooking. Anyone? Yes or no, anybody? Anyone? Is that depleting to anybody? Ah, the cook's over here. Yes, recharging. Oh, yeah. We benefit from your recharge time. That's for sure, Robertsons. That's for sure. Playing instruments. Going for a walk. Going camping. Oh, there's a couple of amens on the campus. Yes, we are a church full of campers. Four-wheel driving. Holidays, anybody? Someone said just simply going for a takeaway coffee is restful. Yeah? That's someone without kids talking, isn't it? That's right there. Reading a book, going for a long drive. And I love this one. This was perhaps my favorite. Lying down. But the addition to that, asterisk, especially without a phone, right? That's where that rest, that's where that time comes of refreshment. And all these things are great, but we need to understand that not all rest is created equal. And I spoke about sleep earlier today and the fact that we require sleep. But sleep itself is not the rest Jesus talks about. It comes under rest, but it's not limited to sleep. For parents with young kids in my bracket that are sitting up the back there wrangling their kids, rest comes as the kids go. You know what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm saying, parents? Yes. Rest comes as the kids go. And it's funny because for grandparents, it can kind of come the opposite way. Like rest and refueling comes as the grandkids come for a few hours and then go again and the rest comes, you know? For some of you, work is extremely physical. And the last thing you want to do when you get home is do something really physical. You want to have some time on the couch because you've expended a lot of energy. And rest for you is on the couch. For some of you that work in an office, getting home, you want to start to become active. You want to do something with your hands. You want to get out there and do a bit of a workout or exercise or, you know, that sort of stuff. You know, maybe that's restful for you. And the definition is important. Definition is important because the lines between rest and leisure can also become blurry. And if we're not careful, we look for fun or we look for leisure to fill the gap that can only be filled by rest. Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying? I don't know if you've ever come back from a holiday and felt like you needed a holiday. We can fill our times, we can do it so easily, fill our times with great fun, but they are not refreshing. And in fact, coming back to our series and the phrasing that we're using in this series, we find ourselves and we do not experience life. We find ourselves doing things that don't bring life, but they indeed extract life. They're not necessarily bad, but they extract life from us. They're depleting and not refreshing, meaning that we don't experience freedom. but we experience the bondage that comes from having a life that is filled to the max and overflowing. And so we do all of these things, but by the end, we find ourselves in this perpetual state of nearly burning out. And there was a survey done last year, in the middle of 2021, last year, that surveyed a number of people, and about six in every 10 people said that they were experiencing burnout last year, physically and emotionally exhausted as a result of a life that is lived without margin. So what do? Do we sleep more? Do we hold? Looking at Ian Watkinson, he's like, yes, get a good man. Ian runs a mattress shop. Get a good mattress and get a good sleep, and then you're on your way to rest. But do we sleep more? Do we holiday more? Do we cancel these things in our lives that are too busy? Do we set up better routines? The answer is yes to all of those things. But even, I was going to set up a bed here on stage. I actually planned to bring a bed and set it up here to lie down in it and to give a few examples and give a bit of visual aid for you to remember what rest is about. But the more I was thinking about it, the more I think that that is a bad example, because that is not what I want you to remember. I don't want you to remember rest and remember a bed and remember that you need to sleep more, because it is so far beyond that. Rest, is as God has designed it, is so much bigger than that. It's the wrong point. And while the activity of rest can look different for every one of us, there is a target of rest that Jesus paints for us to be able to hit, regardless of the type of rest that you think that you need or what fits for you physically. Jesus defines this target in Matthew 11:28-30. And I want to read this, and it's worth turning to. Matthew 11:28-30. And I want to read it out of the Message paraphrase. It says in a little bit different way, a few different words in here. It says, are you tired? This is Jesus speaking. Worn out, burned out on religion. Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Our rest comes from time with our Savior. Rest and peace can come no matter our circumstance, whether it be a heavy season for you or not. Rest can come by coming close to Jesus. All rest is not created equal, but this is a rest that we cannot live without. I remember over the last couple of years, throughout the different lockdowns that we're in, asking that question of people, and people asking me that same question: how are you going? Like, how are you really going? And I remember saying my body and my mind are exhausted, and yet my spirit is full, because I've been able to take time out and rest with my Heavenly Father, to rest with Jesus Christ, my Lord. Here's the one: true rest is found in Christ. Jesus provides the rest in a temporal sense and an eternal sense. The rest that our souls gain in eternity through accepting Him as our Lord and Savior, and the rest that we get through the peace that comes in living now by the power of the Holy Spirit. So in closing, and I want to wrap this up real quick for you, in closing, I want to encourage you in three practical steps to rest that we can all apply to our lives in order to choose life in this area. You know, sometimes it's a real truth that we need to work hard to obtain rest. If you're in a position like that, sometimes you think, I just don't have time. I don't have time to rest. We need to work hard to make time for our rest. It's worth it. So how do we realign with the rhythms of rest? Number one, as we go, we need to set rhythms. Firstly, we need to actually set or reset our rhythms. The first one in this is daily rhythms. Reset your daily rhythms. Quiet time with the Lord. Quiet time with the Lord daily is what He wants. Matthew 6:11 talks about, He says, give us this day our daily bread. We need a daily reminder that our reliance need not be on ourselves, but on Him. To divert ourselves from normal tasks of everyday life, to simply be with Him. To read the Word. To spend some time in worship. To pray. We know this, right? We know this. But there is so much refreshing that is found in that. And if you are booked to the max right now, then in 15 minutes is what you can do. Have 5 minutes in the Word, have 5 minutes of worship, and have 5 minutes in prayer every day and see how that changes your life. Get a daily rhythm going. The second one we need to do is have a weekly rhythm. This comes back to the day of rest. We are not under the law, but that doesn't mean the principle lacks power. The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of the people. And having a day of rest where potentially your screens might get put away, it's rest for our bodies, it's recharging for our souls. Having a day of rest. And many of you would combine that with your Sunday worship. Many of you would call that Sunday. We come, we worship, and we have our day of rest, which is great. So take a day off. Man, someone needs that today. Take a day off. Like, put that into your schedule. Because your body needs it, your mind needs it, your soul needs it. And watch what Jesus is going to do in you if you do that. And annual rhythms. We need to take some time to get away. And getting away doesn't have to cost a lot of money. You don't have to save up a lot to get a holiday, but just go away. Just take some time out. And I know that, for me personally, this is something that I struggle with, to be honest, is the taking the time off, is having annual leave. And I'm thankful that I have a wife that says, hey, we need to go. You need to go. We need to go and get away, and we just need to have some time. And it is refreshing. It is recharging. Look at what it says. And Tim, maybe you can come up for us as we close. In Ecclesiastes 10:10, it says, using a dull axe requires great strength, so sharpen the blade. And for many of us, when it comes to our annual leave, it comes to our work, we are working so hard and our axe has become blunt that we need to actually take some time to get away so that we can actually sharpen that axe up, so that we can refresh a little bit, so that when we come back to it, we are actually better than the way that we left. And that leads into then the intentionality about the holidays that we take. Is it a max out, we're doing everything that we can, or is it a time of rest? Because I need to actually take the time aside to sit down with my axe, to sit down with my sharpening blade, sharpening tool, and to actually sharpen that axe so that I'm more effective. More effective, less efficient, more efficient, more effective. Number two, the big one is that we need to set rhythms, we need to set boundaries. Set boundaries. Boundaries in each area of these is critical to obtaining the rest we need. There might be a certain time of day. There might be half a day off. It might be simply an evening that's a no-go zone where we put in our calendars that we are busy even though we don't have any appointments. You know what I'm saying? And I know that there are busier seasons than others, but look at this principle in Exodus 34:21. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but on the seventh day you must stop working, even during the seasons of plowing and harvest. And what this is saying is that even if the times are busy, not even if, it's when the times are really busy, when you are in a heavy season, that the time out is even more important, or is required as much as when you have the time to do it. And so we need to be intentional about that. When it's busy, we need rest. When it's busier, you need rest. But make sure you only snib the gate, like we said. We don't lock it. Jesus doesn't want to set cold-hearted boundaries. If someone is in need, feel that need. God knows. The Holy Spirit is faithful to refresh you, even as you do what He is asking. And the last thing I want to say for us today is that we need to set rhythms. And I hope this is practical help. I hope this is something that you're going to institute into your life. We set rhythms. We set boundaries. And then we choose refreshment. We choose to insert activities that are going to refresh you instead of take away. To go for a walk, to read a good book, to go for a long drive, to take a trip to get a coffee. We need to make sure that we're intentional about the activities we put in, that they're going to serve our rest instead of the opposite. I just want to pray for a few people today, and this is probably going to be more people that are watching at home than in the room. But just as Chris was praying for people that were sick, I felt that you needed to hear this and needed to know that this time might be a time that God is giving you for a little bit of rest. Not that He's bringing sickness on you so that you rest, but that he's able to work in a restful manner in these times in your lives, if you're having this time. And so I want to pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that whatever situation that you find yourself in at home, or even here in the building today, where there is sickness, there is illness upon your life that is preventing you to living 100% the way that you would want to live, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that he would reveal to you today the work that he is trying to do in you, and that you would find rest, even though it's not sitting at home, but there is work to do and there is healing to happen and there is people to see, all this sort of stuff, but that you would find rest in the rhythms of grace, that you would know that there is time to be spent with your Lord and Savior, with Jesus, even in these moments, that his desire. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. And so, Father, I pray for anybody in the room today, for all of us, me included, Lord God, when it comes to this aspect of rest that you have designed us for, that we need to rest. That, Lord God, that we would not leave this place and go back to the way that our lives have become, where simply the world puts up one thing in front of another and we just roll along with it. But, Father, that we are intentional about gaining the rest that you have for us, not just in practical ways of putting time aside to just sit and do nothing, but, Lord God, as we come before you, as we spend time with you, as you reveal the truth of your word to us, that we'd find rest in your presence. You know, just as we close, I want us to remember, and maybe with every eye closed, we just allow the Holy Spirit to bring something into your mind, perhaps that needs a shift or needs a change. We need to remember that our ultimate rest is actually found in the salvation that is won by our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 4 talks about this big rest. It's available to everyone. However, only those who believe and follow Christ in obedience will experience this rest. And the good news is that a decision to follow Jesus is one that you can make today. And whether you're in here or whether you're watching at home and you want to make that decision to follow Jesus, to enter into that rest today, that eternal rest, to make Jesus Lord of your life, what you're doing is saying, I'm submitting my thoughts, I'm submitting my desires, I'm submitting my life to you, then he will come into your life and you will become a new person, is what the Bible says. A new creation. The Bible says when we confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. That the old ways of doing life will pass away and that our new life begins. And if you're here and that's you and you want to ask Jesus into your life, I just want you to, you're not going to come down the front or stand up. I just want you to put your hand up quickly. I'm going to see it. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Is anyone here today that would like to do that? Thank you, Jesus. And if you're at home and that is you, you know, I can't see you, but our Heavenly Father can. And if that's you today, I want you to pray this prayer with us as a church, knowing that you are saved by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. Can we say this as a church? Can we say, Dear Jesus, today I give you my life. Thank you for forgiving me of my sin. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I believe you rose again. And I choose now to walk in that new life. Thank you, Lord. I turn from my past ways. And I follow after you. You are now Lord of my life. Amen. Amen.